Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Harden against Kyrie, left side, four on the shot clock. Harden switches to the right hand. There's that double step back, and he knocks down the three.
That is unbelievable. And by the way, he got clipped in the chicken wing on the way up.
Brad Stevens will call a timeout here to gather the troops for one last run here with 3:20 to go. James Harden now with 42, and the Celtics trail by 12.
Slip sliding away, slip sliding away. You know the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away.
Hour number two. Zulak and Bertrand on a snowy Monday. Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, is with us. Hi, Dan.
Essential personnel only.
You have been deemed essential.
Evidently.
You are here. And you were here an hour and 10 minutes before you were required to be here.
What, do you have, like, cameras? How do you know
this?
We
know. We know things.
You know all?
We know things.
I was. Well, I was a little worried about, you know, traffic or snow plows, whatever. But there was nobody out there.
Well, you have...
It's good.
Yeah, what do they call that? You have a sense about you. It's an awareness.
What town do you live in there, Dan?
I live in Newton.
Yeah, is it colder there than
most
towns?
Who else lives in Newton?
Is there a lot of ice around?
Fred live in Newton?
What are we talking about? Oh, is
Fred,
he late?
Fred got in a little late.
Okay.
Yeah, these guys have been ruthless, busting his balls today.
No.
Ruthless.
No, I'm like, I take no chances on anything. Like, I go to the airport like a day early.
Everybody makes guy.
Everybody makes fun of me.
You're that guy.
Yeah, I just, it's time to go.
All right, what do you make of the Celtics loss yesterday and the string of Celtics losses? Outside of Friday night, they won on Friday night.
Yeah.
It doesn't look very good.
They've become really hard in the eyes and just, you know, no fun to watch, no fun to listen to after the games. The whole thing's just leaving a sour taste. It looks like now the playoff thing is locked in. They could get up to four, I suppose. They could get up to three. Amazing to me, Indiana has held the way they have up there, but they have. And then I pick up my Boston Globe today, and my man, Gary Washburn, is suggesting that they sign Carmelo Anthony. Oh, my God. No, it's right here. They need changes, and Carmelo. It's right
Carmelo.
There.
Carmelo? Well, I mean, if you're going to go down, man. You know what I mean?
And he tries to...
Yeah, take the coffee pot with you when you get fired. Rip things off the wall. That's
Hold
what
on.
That would be.
I mean, a team that has issues with dedication and effort.
Let's see. Let's bring in the overrated ball hog whose skills have diminished and who no one wants.
Oh, that is...
That ought to do it.
I don't like that idea. There's apparently news on that front, too. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that the Lakers are backing off their interest in Carmelo.
Right.
So... Oh no!
You saw the Bucks took on Gasol, which
is
a good.
See that.
It's a, you know, he's not going to make an impact, but it's a good guy for them to have. Guy who's won, big tall piece of lumber there, and they're making a push. They got a shot. You know, I mean, the East, Toronto and Milwaukee have emerged, and that's going to be very hard for the Celtics to get by either of them. The notion of the Celtics having to go on a road to beat Toronto just is really ugly at this point. It's hard to see him flipping the switch.
617-779-0985. Let's go to Mike, who's in Hopkinton today on the Celtics. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mike.
Tell me who on this Celtics roster is a leader of men. I don't care about how much talent they have, all right? Kyrie has incredible talent, but he was the 1A. He was not the 1. He was the 1A to LeBron James, who helped him get his title. Yes, he made the shot to win Game 7, but he was not the key that got him there. There's nobody on here that I can see, and you guys have been in a lot of locker rooms, but I've seen it, you know, whether it's in the military, I've seen it with law enforcement and firefighters. There's always that guy that people will run into a burning building behind because they can just lead people and get them to do extraordinary things. And I don't see that on this roster.
I think on paper, On paper, it's supposed to be Al Horford, I think. You know, veteran guy, an adult. There aren't many adults in the room there. This is one. And, you know, he's been an all-star. He makes a ton of dough. His numbers daily aren't bad, but he's just not the forceful personality that you're talking about.
And he's Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah.
Those guys aren't leaders. Not usually leaders.
I mean, Morris has the mentality to be the guy, but he's not that good anymore. You know, and he's really gone downhill since, like, Thanksgiving, where it's... You know, I like Morris. I like
sadly, though, I think Marcus Smart has the gene to be a leader, but yeah. he's not.
You gotta have
superior talent.
Also, not good enough. You can't be a leader when you take that bozo shot on last Wednesday in the final minute of the game, because then people look at you and say, "Well, I'm not listening to you. You're not a great player. You don't know what you're talking about."
And I mean, Irving, this is just really trending in a bad way. I mean, yesterday was another bad day where he walks in saying the stuff to the camera guys, and then you know. He's not playing most of the time. They have this stupid comeback in the second half. I'm not into those comebacks.
The NBA is superstar league.
I like that they don't lay down, but I just, when you're down 28, I just can't be part of that crowd going crazy when they cut it to 15. It just doesn't work for me.
No, I saw yesterday, they've trailed by 20 or more at halftime 8 times this season.
Yeah.
That's your moment, though, walking in that arena.
Get your comebacks.
Like, there you are. That's your moment as an NBA player. The guy. Yep. That's what you want. You want the cameras there waiting for you when you get outside your car. Why does LeBron come out 40 seconds after the team? Because he's in riding a bike. He wants everybody to look at him.
And by the way, this isn't unique to the NBA. Every single Sunday in the NFL, this happens to
take the helmet off, put my hat on.
Just quarterbacks. Yeah. Yep. Anybody Odell who's Beckham. A name, anybody who's a star, walking into their stadium, gets the camera following.
I'm done.
And then post-game, Kyrie, that was just unnecessary. Just don't do it. You just say, you know, not.
Well, then you kill him for not doing it. I don't blame him for being quick because it's repetitive now.
I just don't know what he's supposed to say.
That's a waste of everyone's time.
Yeah. What is he supposed to say at this point?
Well, I agree.
He could try to move his lips and put some words together instead of just be contemptuous of everyone and, you know, 14 questions, 46 words, whatever it was. That's just stupid.
Teddy's in Chicopee. Hey, Teddy. Teddy, turn the TV down, radio down, whatever.
Oh, man. I heard myself.
Carlos in Billerica. Carlos.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I like your show.
Thank you.
I have a lot of respect for Dan about Celtic. But let me tell you something. This is too bad. It's something else. It's not only the players. I blame a little bit to Danny Ainge. He is the leader. He is in charge of the basketball operation. He's not doing anything. He has to stop this. And that coach, too, I give a blame to him, too. He got no fire in his belly. He's not with an energetic action. He don't talk with the referees when they make big mistakes. And I'm feeling sick. It's just like the sinking the Titanic. It's ridiculous. I want to listen what you say.
All right, Carlos, thank you.
Play a little Celine Dion.
Appreciate the call, Carlos.
Rose!
I said this earlier about Brad Stevens, Dan. He said after the game, he said, you know, if I thought there was a lineup change that would spark this team or would change the way we're playing, I would have done it already. Why not do it anyway?
Right.
Why not do it anyway? What do you have to lose? Another game? You're already there.
And I think, you know, 3,000 miles away with who they're playing, maybe that's the time to do it, you know.
Marcus Morris, sit. Jalen Brown, in. That's an easy one.
Yeah, it's very
easy. So let's start there.
You know, it's talent for veteran guy, and Brown played inspired yesterday.
Yes.
I mean, he's a little bit of a black hole still. There's still, the ball goes, and he's either going to the basket or it shoots it. It doesn't come back, but... Again, in a season with going the way they're going and with his talent, the fact that he trended backwards at the beginning, he could maybe trend forwards at the end, and you need that kind of talent to beat the big boys at the end anyway. Yeah, I'm down for that. That's not that hard, Beetle. I agree.
Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody.
Lead singer Prodigy, dead. Keith Flint, he died.
Oh, okay. Rest in peace.
49 years old. They're touring this year. They're going to do a bunch of shows. Not anymore. I'm going to get somebody else.
Well, next year on Dan's Dates, you know, you can say a year from today.
I remember on this day, 2019.
Keith Flint, vocalist for the British electronic group The Prodigy, died at the age of 49 a year ago today. Very sad. Yeah, let's record that and play it back next year.
617-790-985, the telephone number for you. Let's get back to your Celtics calls with Dan Shaughnessy with us. Chris in Hartford. Hi, Chris.
Hey, morning, guys. Glad you guys made it in with the snow. We got it down here in Hartford pretty good, too.
Thank you. We planned ahead quite accordingly and took care of business before we left
house. Spent a few hours with the old snow thrower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, listen, I don't know if you guys caught on this, but about 5 seconds after the first time the Celtics won in 16 games, 16 days, actually, they beat the Wizards. And if you look in the left corner where the Celtics runway is to go back to the locker room with 5 seconds left in the game, Kyrie walks off the court, hits Tatum on the arm, walks off the court. Not very classy. Stevens put him in at the end of the fourth quarter because he has more rhythm with, you know, the younger kids, what they did last year. I don't know if you guys caught that.
Did not.
I did not.
I've heard someone talk reference that, but I think there's times he goes on and off, and he takes his shirt off. I know the one time.
Yeah, he ripped his shirt off last week.
He's just an emotional kid. And I don't take anything in it when he goes or when he leaves the court. As long as he's not doing halfway through the damn quarter. I mean,
do we think he's staying or leaving?
I think he's staying.
Right now, feels like he's leaving.
So why do you think he's staying?
Because I think they're going to go get Anthony Davis. Have to convince him. I mean, Kyrie knows what it takes to win in this league. Just doesn't seem like everybody else on the Celtics does. And I think that helps Danny. Hey,
so this goes back to
either way, none of these kids are playing with him next year. So I think, and Bertrand brought up the point last week. Like,
I stole it from Maz.
Oh, okay.
Full credit to Maz on that.
Yeah, that was a great point.
Maz said last week,
why the hell should we buy in?
He said it's even harder for someone like Kyrie to lead.
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to get guys to buy in, you're trying to get young guys to buy in, they're looking at Kyrie saying, either I'm here next year and you're not.
Yeah.
Or you're here next year and I'm not.
Right.
Either way, we're not going to be together very long.
So what's the point?
Why am I going to listen to you?
Yeah,
I'll just do my own thing.
They have a bad dynamic moving forward as they move toward the playoffs. Not the kind of attitude you want to have.
No, but it feels, what do you think? It feels like the chance of him leaving is greater than him staying.
I just don't like the way it's trending. Ever since New York, remember when he sat down in New York and he had every chance to kind of make this go away, instead he said, I'll see you in July. You know, what about your pledge to the fans and all that? Yeah, I'll see you in July. Come see me then. And then not playing for the Celtics and then playing the All-Star game, the two games leading into that, and then all the Durant stuff.
I'm with you, though.
Now he's mad at the media.
He can handle the media a little bit better because I think when he really wants to talk, he gives you a ton. I think he's truly bugged by the BS questions and deal with this crap.
Adam Himmelsbach had a tweet yesterday that a fan yelled down in the final seconds of the game, go to New York, Kyrie.
That was Adam Jones.
Oh, no. What?
Say Jones was at the game. The fan did do that.
Oh, yeah.
As the boos were raining down at the Garden, someone screamed out, go to New York, Kyrie. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. He's going to take that and say, okay, bye. Oh, no.
Okay, so say he does go to New York. Say he does leave. And say you don't get where are you at? Where are you at next summer?
Well,
what do you do?
Oh, for the Celtics?
Yeah, you ready? When you build around Jason Tatum?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. He's a good player.
Yeah, you could keep on here for 2 hours a week for the next 4 years and still be in this continued trend and spin when all these other teams have superstars. And, boy, that 1 year you had one and you couldn't get the other because the kids couldn't play with him. You want to do that again?
You sit there and you hope for the best from Gordon Hayward?
Yeah.
You hope for a dramatic turnaround from where
Hayward
he is now?
14 tonight.
You hope for a dramatic turnaround?
Good effort.
Wait for Al Horford's contract to expire.
Awful.
You pray. You go to church on Sundays.
Yeah. How's
you're
going
to need some sort of divine intervention to get that team to
Who's
a championship and win.
What, do you hang on to Baines?
It was all so good looking back in September.
Not anymore.
Somebody put out that tweet that they had. I guess Bleacher Report had the whole preseason. Like, who's going to stop them? And they had all five of them standing there with their arms crossed.
Whoever
Everybody's
they play
like,
next.
Themselves.
The next team on the schedule.
Themselves.
Jeff is in Ohio. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I'm calling. Hold on. Let me take out off speaker here.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey.
Better. Hello. Okay. Scott's in Wayman. Hey, Scott.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, boom.
What's up? What's up? Boom. What's up, guys? What's up? What's up? All right, normally I only talk hockey when I call sports radio, but today I'm going to give you something a little different. The Celtics and the Bruins could not be more polar opposite right now. The Bruins, their chemistry, it's palpable. This is a team that's easily likable. You feel it. The Celtics are the polar opposite. You just, they're an eyesore. It's like, get away. I don't care. Playoffs. I have zero interest right now in the Celtics, but the Bruins get my attention. Now, I'm a hockey guy anyway, so I guess I'm being biased. But would you not agree, though, that these two teams are just totally, the Bruins are so likable. The Celtics are so hateable. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Totally true. Totally
yeah,
true.
But I mean, I don't know. I don't think the Celtics have gotten to the hateable.
Yeah, they're not hateable.
It's not hateable. You know what it is? You're not taking any joy in watching them.
Right. Fast track.
But you watched the way the Bruins, and look, I know it was the third game in four nights for the Lightning the other night, but you watch how the Bruins come out, and you watch guys like Chara, who is still willing to drop the gloves and take care of business against a guy who, believe me, if there's anyone who is not 6'6 or taller who could take on Zdeno Chara, it's Evander Kane.
Sure.
Chara will still take him on. These guys will still go out there and fight, and these guys will figure out new ways to get guys like Coyle and Johansson into the mix, you know, 15 minutes after they hit the ice with the team, and they seem to be playing for their coach, and they seem to be playing for each other, and they're not bitching about being changed and moved around on lines. They're doing whatever it takes to win games, and they're winning a ton of them lately. That's the type of thing that you celebrate and you enjoy watching, as opposed to a team that underachieves. I don't hate the Celtics. I don't think they're hateable, but they're underachieving. How do you root for underachievement?
You're disappointed. You don't hate them.
Right. It's disappointing to see.
You hated chicken and beer. That you hated that.
Group. Yes.
Like, that's like you were rooting for them to lose. You don't sit there and watch the Celtics when they're in this spin and say, boy, I can't wait for them to lose another
one. No, not at all. Not at all.
Jeff is back. He's in Ohio. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, listen, this is Jeff from Ohio.
Okay.
And thanks for taking my call. This is the third time I've called your great show. I just love the show. I got to tell you, I'm a lawyer. In my office, I have the station on all the time now.
Love you.
I'm originally from Boston. But the reason why I called is that I called 2 months ago for the first time ever calling the show, ever in my life. And I said then that Kyrie was a divisive person. And even though he's a great player, he has great individual talent. I use the example of Ohio State. I have a son who played football for Ohio State. And they had a quarterback who transferred this year, Kay Martell. And the reason he transferred is because the coach there, Ryan Day, is a down-the-field quarterback coach. He throws the ball down the field. Martell's an option quarterback. I think he transferred to Florida or somewhere. And he may be a great quarterback down there. But in this system, he wasn't going to work the way Ohio State plays now. Well, the same analogy is with Kyrie. Kyrie is a hole. He dominates the ball. And the Celtics, when they were at their best, and everyone kind of knows this that watches it from a distance, they're at their best when they're moving the ball and passing it around. And that, plus the fact, I said this 2 months ago, and now people are starting to agree with it because I listen to you guys a lot. But and that is, he's a divisive person. Okay. He's not a leader. He's not. He doesn't bring out people's best. He knocks them down, and he deflates the team, and he zaps energy from it. It's very obvious, and I know he's great, but man, my Celtics, my beloved Celtics, would be better off.
I have a more important question for you, Jeff.
What
does your son think of Greg Schiano as defensive coordinator?
Good one.
You know, I don't want to say too much because, well, I will say this.
Come on, you called the Kyrie thing. Call, give me a little something on Schiano.
Okay, I'll say it. He sucked. He was the worst coordinator we've ever had.
That's getting good now.
Couldn't wait to get rid of him. I'm being honest. He did.
So he's a player's coach.
I was questioning whether or not Jeff was really from Boston. I'm like, he's been in Ohio for so long. Yeah. All the Boston is gone from him. It just came out. It came out there in the very end. Good for you.
My dad back in the 60s, he was in a residency at Mass General, and he was one of the team doctors on the team back in the 60s. I saw every study game for about a 3 or 4 year period as a little kid. But Schiano.
When did you become a fan? Was it game 6 in 74 by chance?
I'm older than that. You got to go back to Sam Jones, Casey Jones, and those guys. Chad Sanders. Those guys.
Jeff,
those are the ones I saw.
He sounds like a cross between R.J. Bell and Albert Breer.
Yeah.
That's what that guy sounds like.
Yeah, he's caught in the West Virginia, Ohio line.
Yeah, and Albert Breer said the same thing about Chiano.
Inbred borderline kid from a West Virginia, Ohio state line.
He's older.
Miss something?
You got to wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Yeah, this one goes out to all you plow guys out there. Working overtime, keeping those roads clear, parking lots clear. Look out for my man Fred in Newton. I know it's 10 degrees in
Newton. Somebody go plow
Fred. Only in Newton is there ice.
Chunks of ice.
It's not his fault.
Blockade.
His house is at the end of a turnaround.
Give the guy a hand.
And he doesn't have a garage.
Pretty sure Shaughnessy.
It was actually easier today than usual.
You know, Fred,
I gotta say.
Fred grinds. He's a morning drive host on the number one rated sports station in the country and locally. And, you know, room for pulling for Fred today.
You could shoot a cannon down the Mass Pike. There was nobody there. You know, it was really
cannon.
It was a breeze.
Yeah.
Do you have a garage, Dan, where you park your car?
No.
No, okay.
No.
How'd you do it? How'd you do it?
I keep the car at the end of the driveway, so it's like right there.
Smart.
And then it's just a little bit of, you know, shoveling some stuff around, and then you just blast out of the driveway, and you're off.
Huh.
Went down to 7-Eleven, got my papers.
How'd you figure it out?
You don't sit there and wait for that pile of ice to build up?
It was not cracking the code.
Did you get up at 3 a.m. and just start game planning that thing?
Do you have any evidence of what time you got up to start doing that?
Evidence.
Very Do you have key. Witnesses? No. Witnesses are no, very important. That,
you saw how early I got here because I was counting on all this time, and I was here in like 10 minutes. That is the truth. I don't know what you guys are talking about, but that's
Should've
the truth.
Should have picked up Fred.
Yeah.
There's another departure from the Patriots coaching staff. It happened at the end of last week. Character coach, Jack Easterby. Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Easterby. Leaving the Patriots. He worked behind the scenes in Foxborough, this story from the Boston Globe, with the title of Character Coach / Team Development. Ben Volen and Nora Princiotti reporting that his contract with the Patriots expired after the season, and he has decided to pursue other opportunities in football. He is one of Bill Belichick's closest confidants and is leaving after six seasons. Well, what happened there?
I think the contract ran out. You got a full share. I think that check cleared. And I think other opportunities came up to where maybe you could earn money or maybe not a lateral move, but a move up.
Wait.
So to speak. So
you don't think there's any cause and effect from things of perhaps less than perfect character?
No, I mean, he held Josh Gordon's hand.
Well, and then the character coach leaves?
Easterby's last assignment was
Josh Gordon.
Mentoring and keeping close tabs on troubled receiver Josh Gordon. His departure comes at a time when the organization is reeling from team owner Robert Kraft facing charges in Florida for soliciting prostitution. Easterby felt his time with the team had run its course, and the Kraft situation does not sit well with him, according to league sources.
Was that according to Easterby or league sources?
Easterby retweeted a message from Saints tight end Ben Watson last Friday about the entrenched evil of human trafficking. So this was not last Friday. This would have been two Fridays ago. That would have been not the first, but that was the 22nd of February. He became a crucial voice for Belichick in the personnel department. A 2015 ESPN Magazine article depicted him as the Patriots' secret weapon. And an article about him on the team website last November called him, quote, the most influential Patriot you've never heard of.
This team has more secret weapons than any team in the history of sports.
It's like Bears
They got
Nigerian,
Bears Nigerian, they got Ernie Adams, they got the character coach. Yeah. I mean, it's a cast of thousands.
They had Mike Lombardi for a while there.
But so you make my head explode that you don't think there's any connection to what happened with the owner and the character coach getting out of Dodge a week later.
I mean, if I was playing and the character coach was there, which I don't need character coaches.
No, you don't.
You know what I mean? We sort of looked at the character coaches, and we've always had them throughout the course of the years. They're sort of advisors, people you could confide in. He was the team chaplain. Chaplains.
Yep, okay, he's the team chaplain. Perhaps these he does not want his business card to say New England Patriots at this point.
Maybe.
He's a team chaplain.
Maybe.
You know, if he's a man of chaplain.
Or someone didn't like his tweet that he tweeted out the Friday before.
Ooh, now we're getting really nefarious.
Could be either one, couldn't
Could
it?
Be.
Yeah.
Oh, you're tweeting about what? Well, guess what? The team's not talking about that right now. You're gone.
Ooh.
There is no contract renewal for you. I don't know. I just thought the timing was odd because it's a month after the Super Bowl ended. Everyone else was leaving in the 3 days later. Brian Flores was off to Miami the day of the parade.
Yeah.
So he's now going to pursue other opportunities. Where those opportunities will be remain to be seen. He was hired by the team in the wake of the Aaron Hernandez arrest after he helped guide the Chiefs through the murder-suicide case involving Jovan Belcher in 2012. Patriots captain Matthew Slater told the team website in that story, "I can only hope and pray to be half the man that he's been and impact lives the way he has." That is some pretty high praise coming from a high character individual in Matthew Slater.
Yep.
That is high, high praise. So it's either way, no matter what the reason is, feels like just another loss that actually means something with this team. They've lost a lot of guys. A lot of guys have walked out that door this offseason. And the guy who's walking in is Greg Schiano, who Jeff in Ohio tells us, no good, no bueno.
Jeff is not a fan. Zoe prided out of him. It was good.
Hey, kid's on the team. That's intel.
Just feels like there's a bit of a brain drain. And Joe Judge is going to go to the offensive side of the ball, Zoe. Your thoughts? What does that mean?
Joe Judge was excited, so I'm at the postgame party and broke the news. He said, "Tell me you're not flying a coop too." And he's like, "Oh, no, no, coming back. Big extension." So pretty excited. Pretty excited to be a part of it. Chad O'Shea's gone. Shaplinski's gone. It's going to be interesting for me to see what they do with Brian Belichick, because there's an assistant quarterback coach that has opened up under Josh McDaniels. It just seems like a pretty good spot for Brian to slide to, and Brian's a former quarterback, and I've talked to you about Brian before.
Former quarterback where?
At prep school. He played quarterback in prep school.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just his game and his charting, and Bill would always stay after practices, going back to camps when Brian was in high school and that, and Bill would work with him, and he'll be throwing and stuff, and just think that's a natural spot to slide into. You know, Josh's
really?
Going to do everything. Assistant quarterback coach.
It's a natural spot for Brian Belichick.
Yeah, and if you looked at Brian when he was first around the team and around Dan,
yeah,
he would always...
down. You're taking notes on this, Dan?
He would be with the offensive staff. He would be with the offensive staff charting the plays, charting offensive plays down.
All right.
So I think Brian is more offensively inclined than, obviously, Steve.
Interesting.
Joe's on to something.
Keep an eye on that.
Keep an eye on that one.
Okay. I'll take that as a report at this point.
Who replaces the character coach?
Hey, get another one else.
Yeah,
father.
Where do you get a guy like
father?
That?
Father Plipsky or something from down at Newton Catholic, whatever. You find one of those, you get one of them in there.
I think they should borrow someone from BC personally.
You know what they do? There's all these self help guys. You know these guys.
Any
like
character
to work
coaches
out.
Over there?
They like to work out. They're in good shape.
I got BC on
they
the line. They got stranded.
They carry
in the
a Bible
snow.
With them.
Where's the BC basketball team stranded right now? They can't get back home.
Oh, Atlanta. Are we allowed to do Boston College updates?
Thoughts and prayers to BC basketball.
Oh, tough day for them. Let me guess. They put them up at Falcons facility or Georgia Tech or something?
They could not fly out of Atlanta last night following the game against Georgia Tech.
Oh, I wonder. Hope they got them in a hotel somewhere.
The Eagles are going to practice at Georgia Tech now, then fly out of Atlanta at 2 p.m. Eastern time. They host North Carolina tomorrow night.
Thoughts and prayers.
So they're going to fly today at 2 o'clock?
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers.
How's that even a story?
Well, they got to practice.
What, are they inserting themselves into the news?
Probably got
John. Because no one's paying attention to them again?
No, they're not inside. John Rothstein.
Nobody cares where they're at.
Who's an insider for college basketball for CBS Sports.
Weren't they paying people to go to the hoop game or something? What's that thing like a month ago? Weren't they paying people to go to a hoop game? Or offering free tickets for something?
Paper in the house.
I'm not sure people would go if they were getting paid.
Yeah.
Now, Beatles.
I hope that. Maybe they could have lunch at McCormick and Schmick's down there. It's right there down by the convention center.
That's a good spot. Good spot we had at that convention center. What's the matter? Oh, that was the Patriots saying, "What are you telling everybody that for?" P.S. Beatles and a-hole. Adam's in Lowell. Adam, what do you got?
Hey, guys, I think we should just pack in the season. Without our character coach, I mean, what's the point of even going out there? I'm sick of people comparing it to, like, first we lose Brian Flores, somebody who actually is valuable and does a really good job. Then we lose this guy. His contract wasn't renewed because somebody figured out he was drawing a check. They're like, wait, he's not an unpaid intern? Oh, Jesus. But don't worry, I'm sure it's a very brisk field for, what's it, character development? I'm sure a great degree. I'm sure he'll find work soon. Thanks, guys.
Okay. I don't think you read the story, Adam. If you read the story, he had influence over who they were looking at when they went to the combine. He was the guy conducting interviews with players at the combine to see what kind of people they were mentally, whether or not they'd make good players. He had his hand in player personnel stuff. He wasn't just the character guy. He just had enough.
We got a little update from Bruins practice here.
Oh, what's that?
Our little moles down there.
Please, tell me more on that, too.
Zdeno Chara just got hit in the head with a puck and immediately left the ice. Didn't look like there was blood at first, but I guess there was blood, apparently. Presser's happening soon. They'll shoot us the info as soon as they get it.
Oh, boy.
So he left the ice immediately. Got hit in the head of a puck. That got hurt.
But that's under his own power.
Yeah. Okay.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Alex Cora said today he's in no rush to name a closer for the Boston Red Sox. That means he doesn't have one. That's that one.
Who's the Patriots' backup quarterback?
The other thing is...
Who's your tight end? Oh, you don't have one.
Ryan Brazier is hurt?
Yes.
How did he get hurt?
He has an infected toe. Let me quote this.
No, my grandma had one one year.
Do you quote this accurately?
Do not mock the infected... Okay, this is from Alex Speer.
This happens all the time, by the way.
Today's Boston Globe. You go to those
foot spas. All they have to do is clip the side of your nail the wrong way.
You
end up an infection in your toe.
In the corner, right?
Yeah, it's right in the corner. Like you did too much of a footsie pedicure.
Or you have an ingrown nail.
Ryan Brazier, whose spring has been slowed by his recovery from a right pinky toe infection, was scheduled to throw on flat ground on Sunday from 90 feet. There's no timetable for when he'll start throwing off a mound. That's up to the trainers.
I'm sorry, in the pinky toe?
I just laugh at this.
It's the right pinky toe.
Cut it off then.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Numb it up and go pitch.
What the hell? Infection in the pinky toe?
I thought this guy was tough.
It's his push-off toe. Sorry. It's legit.
Why don't you go down there and cover it?
I am going back to Florida tomorrow.
Will you find out what the hell happened there?
Hey, how's your toe?
Yeah, I will.
How do you get an infection in the pinky toe?
I'll be down there.
What do you do to that? In the big toe, I get it, though. The big toe, that would make some sense.
Yep. Unless he does what I do all the time. In the middle of the night, you crack your pinky toe off a corner of a wall.
Door jam, yeah.
And you swear every mother of Jesus word you have.
If you're moving really fast,
but for an infection, don't you have to have some sort of like wound?
It sounds like
you split it. You split that. If you do it barefoot, you could split that freaking nail. And if that nail comes back, you get infections under there.
Bring him to Hardy's house. Hardy's got a home surgery method for all those nail injuries.
If he didn't do it, he would have got infected.
I treated not only Blondie's nail, but I also treated her broken pinky toe earlier this winter. Remember?
Okay.
She caught it on the side of the coffee table and split it at the webbing between the little toe and the ring toe.
That hurts.
And broke the toe. And we got in there. We cleaned the wound. We taped it up. We bandaged it up. No doctor. Less than one doctor visit.
You're going to like this, though. So Cal Ripken Jr., we used to tell stories about his dad, Cal Ripken Sr., who was a tough old bird. He was a forever minor league coach, all the stuff, managed, got fired, all that stuff. But anyway, Rip Sr., he was tough, and he had these toes that would, you know, that gross stuff you like with the infection and the it'd get really gross.
Put your feet.
The simulcast will enjoy this. So Cal Sr. had this like gross thing going on down there, and to relieve the pressure, he got out the Black and Decker and just drilled into the nail.
So, we had this guy by the name of Calvin Stevens.
And what did that do?
Calvin Stevens was a third-round draft pick.
It created what Zoe likes, that explosion of releasing.
Calvin Stevens would step on my feet every day in practice.
Worse. The matter.
You know, pus underneath the nails?
I didn't want to say it.
Oh, that doesn't seem right.
It's a yellow fluid, but if you do it right, and if you have a skinny of enough needle, hardly used a drill bit.
I just did this a week ago Friday.
Our
Black and Decker?
No, well,
No, it was a DeWalt 1/16 drill bit, and you just turn it with your fingers.
It's a
preferred. You don't have to actually attach it to the drill.
But if you do it small enough with...
there it is right there.
Right here.
Here's the video on the...
You drill.
That's my wife's nail.
Boom, and it releases like that. But if you do it the hole small enough with a pin, like our trainer had a hot pin and he would do it, the thin string of what would squirt out would hit the ceiling from a big toe.
Yep.
If you did it correctly.
That's it.
See, Hardy's head, that's a big hole. So, boom, it oozes out. But if you keep the hole small, that sucker would squirt.
Well, this is probably what's going on with Ryan Razor down there in Fort Myers.
You think that's what it is?
I do.
So he basically needs Cal Ripken Sr. or Hardy. Cal Ripken Sr. not around anymore, I don't believe, right? He's long past.
No,
so he needs Hardy to go over there with his DeWalt drill bits and do a little work.
I'm not licensed to do it in the state of Florida. If he comes back up here, I can take care of him.
Yeah. Have him fly back home for an evaluation with Dr. Hardy.
That's got to be exciting, though, when 90 feet away on the flat ground, you can start throwing. That gets you all right.
That's an old John Farrell, flat ground. He loved talking about flat ground.
Yeah. He loved talking about a lot of things. It didn't make
you
any sense.
Here, impacting the baseball.
Yeah, impacting the baseball.
We'll play catch like two normal humans, and we'll call this a you're developing here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Dan, I think we're far enough removed from some very, meaningful things that Alex Cora said going back a couple weeks, obviously, with the passing of Nick and the passing of Blake Swihart's brother, that when both of those things happened, all I thought was there was more genuine sentiment and real conversation from Alex Cora in 5 minutes than we got from John Farrell in 4 years.
Yeah. Absolutely true.
100% true.
Yeah. I mean, Cora was...
Just Alex Cora is real.
Yep. Speaks like
everything
a human
about him is authentic.
Yeah.
What you see is what you get. That is who the man is. He is just straight to the point, and I love that about him.
Everybody does. It's really working. It's been a magical hire for them. I mean, it's solved everything they were looking to solve, and it's still, there will be a time when it's not going to be great, but he is still riding the high of that thing.
When is that time? 3 years? No.
Could happen at any moment. I'm going back to Florida. No. He's really... To this point, and he's got a team. He's got a wagon. Loaded.
Farrell was here for 5 years, not four, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think five.
Yeah. So we got more in 5 minutes than we got in 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years, yeah.
Yeah. Cam's in Taunton on the Celtics. Hey, Cam.
How's it going, guys?
Thanks for hanging on.
No problem. I look at this team, everyone's like, who do you blame? I blame everybody. There's one person on this team I look at and say, you're the same player in person you've always been, and that's Horford. Other than that, the GM... You could clearly tell early on this team was better when there was one player missing. You could have subtracted at the deadline. You didn't. You opened up a roster spot and did nothing with it. The coach. You have no control of your team. You're a brilliant next to those guys, but you have no control of your team. Kyrie, you're one hell of a leader when you blow off game 7 to go get a nose job for your movie tour. The young kids who think they've achieved something when they haven't, and they haven't won anything, and Gordon Hayward is an absolute shell of himself. Everybody's to blame. Everybody.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong.
What do you do with Hayward if he can't get back?
Oh, I don't want to think about
that. No, seriously. Because, we talked about it, and I'm like thinking, like, okay, you got to give this guy time. It should be a bridger for him. But what if he never gets back? He's 30 mil. Like, you sit here and you rip Horford for not having you can't even say anything about Horford. Gordon Hayward is taking the pressure off Al Horford as far as the money part of it.
Yep.
We haven't mentioned Horford or his money in a year.
No.
Because you have that outlier now. You watch him play, Dan. It's like he's not on the court.
And I'll give Horford that. I mean, he's quiet. He's not really the leader that they need, but he's consistent.
But he's there every night.
Shows up. He plays.
He's there. He gives you minutes. He tries.
Is he going to go down as the Carl Crawford of basketball?
If he does not respond and does not come back to form, yes.
What's Hayward's strength now? What is his strength with this team?
Well, no, it's different. Carl Crawford was a quitter, and he was a crybaby.
Right.
And all he did was whine about Boston. He whined about Boston for years after he left here.
Bad luck in this one with Hayward. Hayward wanted to come here, wanted to play. Come on.
And that's why we're still waiting, because maybe the injury takes longer and it's crisis of confidence.
Look at Paul George.
Look
at Paul George and how he's come back from his.
Okay. But if what we're seeing is all there
is. But if this is all there is, this will turn out to be a disastrous signing. The same way any other signing is.
It's like there's no intensity either end of the court. It just floats. You know what it is? It's like going to watch adult men's league down at the YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
You got all these dudes running around, the street ball dunking. There's the 6'8" white guy out there in tall socks. He's just floating around, not involved in any of the game. just not involved at all.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.